Here we are once again.
Yeah. Happy Monday.
Man, day before election.
I don't know if I've even talked to you since we did the podcast last Monday.
I don't think so.
We haven't spoken. It's just been one of those weeks, huh?
We're keeping it all for the podcast.
Yeah, baby. So, election day is on us, is upon us.
I remember it just was a couple of, seemed like weeks ago, and we're saying, oh, we got 90 days, 80 days. It seems so right. Far out. I can't even believe it's here already.
So fast. I had lunch today with someone who's from Texas, is their home state. So, in fact, it's Big Jason. I don't know if he's a listener or not. We didn't talk about it today at lunch, the podcast, but I did give him a hard time. I'm like, so, you know, all they're talking about is how Texas is going blue. And so you can see.
Does he disagree with that?
Well, he's just like, you know, his face gets all crumpled up.
I was looking at a map just a little while ago about the individual states and how they voted, I think, back from 1976. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple periods during that time where it was clearly a blue wave, and then other times it was clearly a red wave, you know? I think it was...
Texas has never been... Oh, you mean overall?
Overall, yeah. Just kind of the history of how that pattern has shifted in the last couple of decades, but... overwhelmingly red in 2000, and then just, you know, by 2008, almost overwhelmingly blue, just kind of on an electoral vote perspective. Right.
So we're a little closer now, a week probably closer than the last time we talked about this. So how do you feel about, you know, obviously the media that you really don't trust is they're just, they want to say that Biden's kicking ass all over the place and he's way out in front, but they're so afraid, so they're all holding back. So where are you still holding on to the silent Trump voter theory?
Well, yeah, certainly.
What do you think is going on?
You know, I think a lot of these silent voters are not so silent anymore. I mean, you saw here in Southern California, we've had a lot of Trump rallies. I mean, we've had our version of boat parades. We've had freeway parades and everything else, and your favorite with banners and flags on people's cars. But did you see, I think it was in Texas, was it the Biden-Harris bus was traveling down the road and then it was swarmed by a bunch of Trump supporters?
Yeah, did you see that footage? Where that was. I don't know if that was Texas or Pennsylvania or something. It was somewhere where they were yesterday. So, yeah, I saw that. I saw that footage. So,
you know, it's interesting. We have mentioned how many people have voted by mail. So a couple of shows ago, it was whatever, 20 million, then 40 million. Yeah. Now I think the count is over 90 million with a total of, what's the benchmark, 130 something from last year. So we don't know.
130. Yeah, 130 yeah. From last, from 4 years ago. Yeah.
Which you would think it would be more this time because, you know, people don't want to get out. And of course,
well, it's going to be more. I mean, a 100 million or so by the time all is said and done, and it's actually tomorrow, and then that only leaves 30,000. My guess is there's another 60 million people going to the poll. That's the polling place.
Yes, let's establish that for those of us who have a problem remembering what it's called.
There's a few going to the polling stations, but.
So what are you saying? You think it's going to be how many total votes? 200 million? Is that what you're saying? Is that when you factor in the illegal votes? Do you get to 200? The dead people and the illegal?
All the fraud. That's with everything. The fraudulent votes and everything. Well, I think probably 160. I think that 130 million was the last time. I think we're going to see another 30, 40 million on top of last, you know, 4 years ago. And I think there's probably at least that many people that are going to go to the polls. I mean, I talked to one of the other people that I had lunch with today.
How many lunches did you have?
No, same. Oh. A lunch with two people. So this person said that his whole family had already sent in their votes by mail, but he's the only one that's going to the polling place
really?
Tomorrow.
But, interesting. Why is that?
Yeah, but he, well, because he owns his own company and he can. So
is that kind of a pride thing? I want to go vote on election day?
Yeah. He wants to go into the, for him, he's an immigrant to this country and, you know, became a citizen through a lot of hard work and quite a bit of money. And so going to the polling place is a thing for him. His children were all born here. So, you know, it's not the same thing for them. They weren't born in another country and came here. They were all born here.
Right.
So for them, they don't give a shit about going to the polling place. Just, you know, they're younger. So, you know, he's more closer to my age, somewhere between you and me, I think. And so for him, it's a thing, you know, and so he's going to do it. So I think there's a lot of people like that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. You know, I think it
was, I think most of the Republicans are going to the polls.
To the polls.
Yeah.
So, and those votes are obviously counted right away.
They're going to be counted tomorrow. I mean, they're going to be counted on the same schedule that we're used to. So here's what I'm afraid of, that tomorrow night, they start getting polls closed and they start getting counts in from districts, from people that came into the polls, and it's going to look like Trump's ahead because those are going to be mostly Republicans. But I think probably 60%, you know, of the votes that come in that are already in the early vote and the mail-in vote, that's going to be heavily Democratic. So I think, you know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds. I think the one thing that all of the media has agreed on in the last couple of months is that they've been training us to get ready for the fact that we're not going to have clear results tomorrow, which is unfortunate. Yeah. I would like to know tomorrow. I don't care what the outcome is either way, if I could know tomorrow.
Well, I mean, the truth of that is, right, that we have never known on election day. There's never, ever been an official announcement. What happens is the news outlets, they declare winners, and
I know what you're saying, because the Electoral College doesn't meet until whatever, the second week of December. But let's face it, I mean, there were, I think, most elections, including the last one, the other party, you know, bowed out, right? And so in that sense, I mean, Hillary admitted defeat and she said, okay, you know, that's it, right?
Right. Yeah. On it, late that night.
Yeah. And, which was awesome to watch.
And I've been seeing a lot on, you know, a lot of stuff on the election 20 years ago, the 2000 election, Al Gore and Bush, that went to the Supreme Court. And so that's been interesting to kind of relive some of those memories and look at how that happened. And because their Gore had, I think he had conceded, but then he had to call, when it became evident that Florida wasn't a sure thing at all. So then he had to call Bush and rescind his capitulation.
You just said it. Yeah.
Yeah. So
he was like already moving on to writing climate change books. And they're like, hey, sir, you might have a chance at this. Come back.
Get back in there.
Don't spend your book advance just yet.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm trying to think, I guess really on the bright side for me, by the time election day comes here, if I'm lucky, Trump will have had a heart attack or something because of his incredibly stupid schedule that he's maintained over the last few days with super spreader events.
What do you mean? Aren't they all doing the same thing? They're all out there campaigning.
Yeah, but only he's running maskless rallies where people sit right next to each other in giant.
Well, listen, let's not go down the COVID-a rabbit hole, because you know how I'm going to get. But I will say this. I said it last week. It's gotten worse in the last couple of days with international reports of countries around the world shutting down. It's only a matter of time before the powers that be, we have to look ourselves in the mirror here, and more of that bullshit comes our way. And I told you this before, you know, at one point Biden said he'll lock it down. I think his people got into his ear, so he backpedaled on that. And he's even now tweeting all the time saying, I'm not going to lock it down. Or what does he say? I'm not going to shut the country down. I'm going to shut the virus down.
Right. That's exactly.
I do think that he could find himself under pressure to reverse again on that. And it's already crazy out there. I don't know. There's already shit running out in the stores. Toilet paper and paper towels are already gone from Costco again. So I don't know I don't know if that's lockdown fears or election fears. There was a report of, another record background check. I think the FBI reported for firearms last month again. I mean, 3.9 million background checks. People are preparing for the worst.
Yeah, well, I mean, your president, not your president, our president has been sowing the seeds of fear and panic, you know, at you know, full speed ahead. I mean, I'm not surprised by any of it. I mean, he has done his best to try to scare the holy living shit out of the country. And he doesn't care how bad it is for the country or how wrong that is. That's just what he does. That's how he does it. And so, yeah, I'm not surprised at any of that. I can tell you right now, if toilet paper and shit's disappearing off the shelves and gun sales are through the roof, it's all his doing.
If we're going to blame that on him?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are, because that's him. That's him.
How is that him?
Because he's scaring the
shit out
of people.
He's going in there in the night and stealing all of the toilet paper and the paper towels.
No, he's driving people nuts with his
people are already
fear mongering. Yeah, well, you don't get much argument from me on that. I mean, I'm already, look, no offense to anybody listening, because you're all excluded from this comment, but people are fucking stupid in general.
No, so, I know. It's,
you know, what can I say? So,
but it is, you know, you go back to the rallies, and this speaks to the core of what I've always said, whether or not there's going to be some national, you know, lockdown again or mask mandates or whatever it is, vaccinations. I mean, Jesus mm-hmm. Christ, I will be one of the first people in line to take whatever vaccination, whatever vaccine they have, you know, because it'll give me some of my freedoms back. I mean, you know, I think that so much of our freedoms have been taken away. But I'm not out there to try to break the law. You know, I want to be a free citizen and be able to move about and travel and do what I want to do and leave people alone and be left alone. And to do that, I mean, already you got to carry around a card that says, you know, you remember early on, we're an essential business. We can be on these roads, or I've taken a COVID test. I can be on this plane. I've had the vaccine. I can be a free citizen. I mean, man, it's fucking scary what's happening in our world out there. I just never thought I'd see something like this.
I'm pretty sure England went into full shutdown.
They did. Today, England, right? France, Germany, I think, on Thursday, this coming Thursday. They're all just saying, hey, we don't have control of this. This is our only option. Even Fauci, again, is saying things like, we are in the worst position we could be at this time of the year. Here we are, early November, with the case counts. People are saying that essentially, you know, which I think is all bullshit, but look at the numbers around Thanksgiving, and you can do some type of formula to predict the number of deaths in the 2 weeks after that. I don't know. I mean, I don't
think... How many people are you going to have at your house for Thanksgiving?
As many as I can to be a super spreader. I got the banner up that says, super spreading happens here.
Come on.
With turkey.
Free turkey.
Free turkey and a super spread on me.
Yeah, one of the people I had lunch with today said he expected to have 20 people at his house.
So and here's the thing.
He's a Republican.
You have to have common sense, meaning if you're sick, if you don't feel good, if you have a fever, whatever the other shit you're supposed to do, then you stay home. But you can't tell people to not live their lives. There's just so much, I think, backlash.
Because there's so much good stuff to talk about. I'm not telling anybody how to handle COVID one way or the other. I don't care whether you wear a mask or you don't. I'll take care of myself. If I see you coming without a mask, I'll protect myself.
So how was it today? Because I think the last time I mentioned, you and I went to lunch, and maybe you had some reservations about that. But so you've been out again. Was it different? What was the experience?
Well, I mean, this was the same experience that, you know, we had that day where we ate out on a patio. You know, you walk into the restaurant.
Have to wear the mask.
With your mask on. And then the whole restaurant was shut down. Unlike where we went, this was a different county, and they're not doing that good. So all indoor dining is off in that county. And so, you know, patio had, I don't know, 7 or 8 tables with people at them, you know, through the lunch.
Spaced out? Hour. You felt okay about that?
Yeah. Nobody was particularly close to me, you know. And the two guys I had lunch with, I mean, you know, I wasn't particularly close to them. I wasn't 6 feet away from them, because that can't have lunch and do that.
You can't do almost anything in life and maintain a 6 foot buffer for 15 minutes.
Yeah, but here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to sit inside a crowded inside building for anything. So I just found out from one of our associates that wants to have, you know, plan some kind of dinner or something with a customer, you know, at night. And I'm like, hey, number one, would have been, you know, so he's going to listen to this. So I already told him that. I'd like to
You're
going to
say bad
first.
Things about him?
Yeah, no, nothing bad. But, you know, puts me in a position, you know, to where I have to I have to, because I don't want to do that. Right?
Yeah,
it's,
I think
it's a month away, and I'm like, look, I'm not doing that.
And I think everybody would respect that, and you reserve the right to make that judgment. And that's what I think about these rallies and everything else is, I think I brought this up before, if Trump announced a rally wherever in the middle of a football stadium and nobody showed up, then he wouldn't have the numbers that he brags about. He wouldn't be super spreading because people didn't want to go. They didn't want to get sick. They didn't want to hear him, whatever. He's drawing these massive crowds. Because
nobody wants to hear him anyway. Did you hear this? They go to the rally. Here's how it goes. They go to the rally. They get the free shit. They hoop and holler. They yell at the media if there is any. And then when he starts talking, they start leaving.
Yeah, that's not true. I mean, you can watch. I mean, you have.
Nobody wants to hear him. They just want to be there for the event. I mean,
I saw a bunch of footage this weekend. There was, it looked like a football stadium. There's a ton of people there.
It's a couple of bleachers at an airport someplace. So
are you saying they superimpose the rest of the audience in?
Well, it always looks bigger than it is on TV, you know, and, this is a fever pitch right now. So, and I think, you know, a lot of people are going to get sick from those things. They're not wearing masks. They're all crowded together. It's outside. That's good. I guess the weather was so bad at a couple of these. They've had some people go to the hospital from heat exposure or
snow, you know, right? It was snow, in a
snow
couple
or
of them.
Something. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's
global
not only
warming my ass.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't give a fuck, right? Just whatever is on for the TV. So, hey, I'm pretty, you know, I'm feeling pretty good I'm going to win either way. You get that, don't you, Travis?
What do you mean?
Here's the thing. If Trump loses, then that's what I've said all along that I want. I want him and his.
You said you would stop. Yeah, you will support any effort for him to be removed from office.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I want him out. If he wins somehow, and that's the will of the people, and it's legitimate, it's not some, you know, some bullshit through the court. But if he ends up winning this, like, you know, oh, hey, guess what? You were right. There was this whole big silent Trump majority that was staying on the down low, and they're all pouring out tomorrow to vote for him. And he wins, fine. Then that's fine. I mean, it's good for me because then I don't have to hear about every little thing, not just from you, but from everybody about, that Biden and Harris do for the next 4 years. So, it's 4 years without the Democrats running the show. So, you know, however it's fucked up, it will continue to be all his fault.
So, well, listen, if anything else, you should be happy because it'll give you show material. Exactly.
Good for the show. So that's what I'm saying. I go, I win either way, you know. And look, again, for those I think most of you listening probably know me, and you've probably seen our fabulous pictures on our website now, couchfuneral.com. Is that how they get
to
our?
That's how you get there. Couchfuneral.com.
I mean, you got to be careful how you put that in, because I keep going to actual funerals with couches. So, depends how you.
I'm telling you, you got to get rid of those porn sites on your computer.
So,
I don't know what you're looking at.
Yeah. So I forgot even what I was going to say.
Well, here's you were saying that basically you win either way with the Trump victory. But, I've seen an equal amount of reports just in the last few days of people calling either a landslide Biden victory or a landslide Trump victory. And one of the recent ones I saw today, despite what you may think, you always accuse me of watching Fox News, but most of the time I'm just following the markets. And a lot of the reports are suggesting that the markets have already priced in a Biden victory. And essentially,
that's what they're saying.
The main point is from the Fed, that the Fed has already established their plan for at least the next 12 months, that they're not really going to do any kind of drastic changes on things. So as far as that actually helps Biden, because there's some stability built into what the Fed is targeting. So, you know, who knows? I don't know. We'll see. But man, if it's Biden, I sure would like to know tomorrow.
Well, I think tomorrow you're going to have what you have today, your opinion.
I don't know. It'll be interesting.
My opinion is he's going to win, and that is not based on – I mean, really, there's no way to know right now because things are too atypical, right? Between the COVID, the amount of early voting, you know, the amount of just how crazy it is. I mean, you know, the country is so darn near split down the middle, right, that it's just, there's just no way to really be sure. I mean, I'm not feeling it one way or the other, right? I'm not feeling that he's way ahead and it's much more than I think. And I'm not feeling that for Biden either. I just can't tell. And it just depends. I mean, you listen to Latinos in Florida and you got every viewpoint in the world. I mean, you've got a lot of Cubans down there that have bought into this whole thing that Biden is some kind of communist, and they're totally buying it. And I don't know why exactly, but
do you think
for them, that's a deal killer.
You know, we've talked a lot about how, you know, with the whole mail-in voting thing, that some states were accused, and I think there's actually some proof that some ballots ended up being sent to people that were, or, you know, deceased or maybe not in this country legally or legally allowed to vote. But do you think that in order to vote, you should have to take some type of test to prove you're not some stupid maniac?
No. No,
you can't get behind that initiative.
Look, my opinion is that there are no changes whatsoever needed for voting. And if anything, it should become much easier and not harder. That's wrongheaded. So, and I'm not saying you're wrongheaded about it, but anybody that thinks it should be harder to vote is just looking at this wrong.
We got to at least administer an IQ test or something. We got to do something.
No, listen, I get it. You're a white landowner. You'd be in the top tier at the Constitutional Convention. You'd be good with that, but you'd be a voter. But really, that's not the way it works anymore. You don't have to. Really, if you know, all you should, you know, if you're a citizen, you should be able to vote, and it should be easy for you to vote, and you should be able to do it from your phone. So,
well, I agree, and I'm joking about the test, although that would be awesome. But you know,
there was a time. I mean, here's my guess is because you've been busy reading the Constitution and the letters of Federation, right? Is that what they're called?
Federalist Papers.
The Federalist Papers.
Yeah, the essays.
The essays. And so you haven't had any time to bone up on the Jim Crow laws. But I mean, taking tests to vote is a Jim Crow.
I was trying to help you with your crazy people in Miami there to make sure that they actually, you know, could. Well, I mean, you got to get like a 70% or something. Show me that, listen, you know, something.
If you're a Cuban immigrant and your parents or your parents were in your first generation or however that works, I can understand that you don't understand how it works and that you're very oversensitive to having the sitting president erroneously and libelously call the ex-vice president of this country a socialist and buying into it. I mean, I don't blame that guy for buying
that. And a lot of places that people come from around the world, that's the structure that they left, you know? So it's probably a real life scenario where they've lived under a socialist regime or a dictatorship and they saw either one side come to power or the other side be toppled or whatever. But, you know, I know people who have taken the citizenship test and know more about this country than people who were born here.
Well, yeah. I'm sure they do. I mean, I did happen to read the Constitution recently, but you know, that the last time I even looked at it was, I don't know, I was in eighth grade, I think.
You mean before you recently reread it?
Yeah. So I mean, that's a fuckload of time, right?
How many amendments did they add in that time?
Well, most of them. There's like 27 of them or something, so 28, I don't know.
You know what thing that they should change that should be the same in every state is that the process to vote, I agree, should be made easier, but it should be consistent. And this whole thing where, you know, some states can't even open the ballots until the day of the election, and other states, well, I guess you can't. I don't know how they do it, but you can't count them afterwards or whatever the confusion is. Just fucking give me the answer. Who won?
You know what? You know what? We've had mail-in or absentee voting forever, right? And that's the main way that people in the military that are I don't know what the right word is, that are, you know, out of the country or whatever.
That's deployed. How they vote.
Yeah, they're deployed, right? That's how they vote. And typically there's a grace period after the election. I mean, so I think for everybody, it's always been, hey, you got your absentee ballot. As long as it's postmarked on the election day.
Yeah, that should count.
You're good. And that should count. But no. We're in the Supreme fucking court right now trying to get 120,000 votes and thrown out drive through voting in Texas or something. Because the Secretary of State there wanted to make it easier for people.
So that's what I'm saying. Do we need to have the voting laws established by each state, or should there be some type of, you know, federal change?
All the southern states should be made to go. I mean, we should have the what was the thing that was overturned? I don't have the name at my fingertips. The Voting Rights Act or whatever that made all the southern states have to check in with the Justice Department before they changed anything to do with voting in their states, because they were all Jim Crow law states. That all needs to come back, because those are the states that are making a big push at trying to make it harder or hard as hell for black people to vote in their states. That needs to stop. And hey, I can guarantee you right now, if Trump doesn't win, that's coming back. And so, and rightly so.
But so what are you saying? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, in general, I'm okay with the voting stuff being left to the states, but something has to be established. You know, that needs to be uniform. And you sure as fuck can't be changing anything about it within a week or two of the election.
I agree. Whatever happens in an election year should be, you know, set in stone for that year, and any changes you want to make need to happen after.
Yeah, in between. I mean, there was so much time for this. So
you and I both, we did mail-in voting. So are they counting those?
So I tracked mine.
Oh, you did?
I tracked mine. I put mine in a voting box at the library.
There you go. See, I knew I wasn't wrong.
And put that into the voting box by hand myself, and then tracked it online in Orange County, and
they received it.
Find out that they received it, and it will.
But they can't. But they're not opening it.
I guess they're not counting it at this point. So I don't know what they've done.
So when we talk about
it's not California where the weird voting restrictions is happening. It's all over the rest of the country.
So the 90 something million that have voted, are we not being counted then? In the vote that you and I placed?
Well, I mean, we're part of that 90 million early vote.
So they're counting it as votes cast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you care to share who you voted for?
Trump for the good of the podcast.
You just wanted to have some California votes?
No, I voted for Biden. Yeah. I mean, I voted a Democratic ticket. I'm a Democrat. And that's the way I typically vote. I mean, I'm trying to think. I think the only state, Katie Porter is the senator for my area here in California. Mm-hmm. She's the senator or is
name
that,
sounds
or is
familiar.
She the congressperson, huh?
That name sounds familiar.
Who was your, do you remember who you voted for Congress? Was your congressperson up?
Yes, I don't remember. I didn't make a copy of it. I forgot.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
that's honestly, the only ones I gave a shit about was the presidential election and the propositions. Yeah, I had to get help on the, you know, the community college stuff and the water district. It's, you know, who the fuck
are
these
people?
You know
what I did for those? I voted for the incumbents. I mean, here's the thing. We have colleges, we have water, that stuff's working. So
you want to keep the water, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if I knew anything about it, you know, about any of them, if I had a stake in any of it, but I don't. So, but I did vote for everything. I didn't leave anything blank.
Yeah. No, I didn't either.
And I did vote no on all.
Was Kanye on your ballot?
No.
He was on mine.
Oh, well, then maybe he was.
I thought there was a bunch of controversy where he wasn't on the ballots.
Was he on it? I mean, if he was, I would have ignored it. So maybe he was. I don't know. I have it. I took pictures of it, I think.
Well, he's not in all of the ballots across the country, and that was the issue. So if you write him in, I mean, do they count that?
If you write him in?
How do they decide? Because on the last election, I did a write-in, of course. I wrote my own name because I couldn't vote for Hillary because she's a terrible candidate and Democratic policies destroyed this country.
Did you vote for the Libertarian this time?
I voted for Joe.
Oh, you voted for Joe.
Joe wow. Jorgensen.
Oh, Joe Jorgensen. Okay, great. Wow, I was going to say, after all this, if you voted for Joe Biden, I am coming through this podcast.
I couldn't do it. I mean, we have two terrible fucking choices if you, you know, allow yourself to be wrapped up into the concept that you only can pick two. And, you know, last time I wrote myself in, and this time, you know, I chose somebody on the ballot. So, you know.
Did you vote for Kanye?
No, I voted for Joe.
Joe
Jorgensen. Who's Joe?
Is that the Libertarian?
Yes,
candidate?
That's her name.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's a woman.
You don't even know.
Well, good for you.
See?
Good for you. Well, I don't consider, look, we talked about this in the last podcast. I don't consider libertarians living in the real world of politics.
So. It would be so refreshing if something like that happened, because I was going to ask you this too. You know, if Trump does win, what do you think's the state of the Democratic Party over the next 4 years? I mean, I've said this before. I really believe that a lot of the Democrats are fucking crazy. You know how I feel about that. A lot of these policies are just backwards, especially when it comes to planning and running a government, because they don't know the first thing about business or you know, how to spend people's money. So, but in the last 4 years...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said, because I was daydreaming a little bit about the good old days while Bill Clinton was president. How wonderful that was.
Hey, you
and
know
how
what?
Sad I was when he had to finally leave. He was my favorite president of all time. And then only surpassed by Barack Obama. So, you know,
hey, I voted for Clinton.
Yeah, of course you
did.
Like
whatever that was, 96, I think.
You know, that was a long time ago. And, you know, so, I mean, you know, I don't know what to say. I mean, you know, the Clinton years were fantastic. And the years were fantastic. And so when you say, like, well, they don't know how to govern.
The
this,
Obama years were not fantastic. Listen, they Obama, were. No, they weren't. But let me go back to Clinton for a second.
Go ahead.
Clinton,
go ahead.
If you compare his presidency in the 90s to the Democratic Party of today, they don't even look the same. He was a fucking Republican compared to what they are now.
Yeah, and you can say the same thing about the Republican Party. I mean, the Republican
That they were Republicans?
Party, well, I mean, the Republican Party from that time, I mean, they're fucking Nazis now. So, you know, there's no comparison. I mean, things change. So, you know, so are you
not as bad as
I think
Democrats?
Well, I mean, I don't know exactly what I could base that on. I mean, I was perfectly happy with everything during the Obama years.
And Clinton, he's the guy who was, you know, big on immigration and building walls, and Trump says the same thing, and, you know, people lose their shit over it. So let's not forget that Bill Clinton he's not Bernie Sanders.
Hey, you know, for the sake of not having a complete, you know, bitch fest here on this podcast, I'm going to say, send me something about how, you know, Bill Clinton is saying the same shit as...
Yeah, there's actually some really good clips. There's some audio clips, or it's better if you read the transcript, because if you see it or hear it, and it's the who said it, you know, and everybody wants you to think it's Trump, and it's guys like Clinton or Obama. It's the same policy, but people lose their shit over the messenger.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe I will tell you that I think that what I would expect the Democrats to do is immediately and forthwithly tackle immigration and fix it. All right. I mean, here's the thing. And this depends on whether we flip the Senate. So if we flip the Senate, we take the president, we flip the Senate, we still control the House. They got a lot of shit to do. And
what are they going to do with immigration?
Well, what they immediately need to do is fix immigration, do the immigration reform that's never been done. It has nothing to do with building walls.
The DACA stuff,
like
you
that.
Mean?
All of it. There's a lot more than DACA. Obviously, DACA, you would make that permanent, and you would give those people, every single one of them, a path to citizenship. And then as far as what you do with the other 11 million...
you can't deport them.
Undocumented immigrants... you got to give them probably a path to citizenship too. So for me, I have no fucking problem with that whatsoever. I don't care about that. I think it should happen. Certainly we need to get all of the undocumented aliens out of the shadows and into the light so that they can pay their taxes, participate, reap the benefits,
I agree.
And become citizens.
Let them be citizens. Let them pay taxes. So they don't raise taxes on everybody else.
Yeah. We need to. The Democrats need to fix the health care stuff. Put back the Obama stuff that's been stripped out and fix it.
What got stripped out was the individual mandate.
Right? I don't know. You know, I'm not an expert on that, so I'm going to refrain from going into a big discussion. But
can I just say this real quick, because it ties into what I said about Democrats don't know shit about how to make anything work, any financial engine work. All insurance operates on one fundamental principle. It's premium dollars paid in and claims dollars paid out. That's it. So you base the premium amount, or the amount of money it's going to cost somebody to buy that insurance, off of the amount that is being sucked out of the system. And so the thought was, hey, there's not enough people paying in, there's not enough premium dollars paying in to cover all these people we're now going to give free insurance to. So to solve that problem,
the insurance, just pay for healthcare.
No, but well, that's a whole other issue, because you're talking about privatized medicine versus government control.
It can't be more than, look, how many trillions of dollars did they put out already in the stimulus for this complete fucking mess we're in this year?
I don't even, what's it up to now?
Right. And 3 or 4 trillion? And then there's going to be more trillions. You can pay for healthcare with that.
Hey, just do it. Print the money. But you're talking about
printing more money
and putting more money to the same broken system, which is insurance.
No, kill the insurance. Just get rid of them. Fuck them.
I agree. And I hate insurance.
You said it in a past podcast, and I took it to heart. So when I say fix the healthcare, I mean fix healthcare.
Healthcare, yes. If you want to have a conversation about making sure people have, you know, care.
I don't care if it's the ACA or anything else, but when all is said and done, everybody should have health insurance, and pre-existing
healthcare
conditions should have nothing to, you're right. Everybody should
polling
have
station.
Healthcare. Yeah, they should get their insurance at their polling station. All right, so there,
well, let me finish my point though. Didn't you ask me what I thought? I'm going to get back to that. I'm on a roll here.
Okay,
but
okay,
these fucking Democrats, what they said was, we need more people paying in because there's going to be too much money sucked out of the other end with all these people we're giving free insurance to. So that's when they put in the individual mandate. You see, they said every citizen in this country now, you will be required by law to buy this insurance, or you're going to pay a penalty. And that was another thing that Obama put his foot in his mouth over. But the point is this.
Yeah, I remember that.
They forced people to buy it. And that's what the Supreme Court struck down. So I don't know what the numbers are, what net effect that had from the people who bought it because they were forced to. And then once they were told they didn't have to, they bowed out. And if that at all made an imbalance in the system. But that's what they struck down. And you got to be in favor of that.
The other thing that made the ACA not work well was that many Republican governors and Republican state governments refused to expand Medicare, and that crippled it. And so there's a lot to it. So I don't have the answer, just like Fuckface doesn't have the answer. He doesn't have a health care plan.
Hey, that's corrupt, Fuckface, to you.
It is. Hey, did you see the book that the giant book that the stupid bitch that is the press secretary now for Trump, the skinny little blonde.
McEnany. They can never say it.
She brought out, at the end of that Leslie Stahl interview, she brought out this giant book and dumped it in Leslie Stahl's lap. I mean, it's a giant book.
What's in the book?
Well,
the book of secrets.
She says the president asked me to hand deliver this to you. It's the healthcare plan.
His healthcare plan?
Yeah, his healthcare
plan. Did it say the big beautiful healthcare plan on it?
It did, something like that. I mean, this is a giant book. It's like 5 or 6 phone books thick, right? So it's gigantic.
And she said what? Take this and read it and digest it?
She said, this is the healthcare plan he wanted me to deliver to you. So they left it with her. They took it. There's no fucking healthcare plan in there.
Was it just a bunch of blank pages?
I mean, it was a bunch of bullshit. It was a bunch of initiatives and this and that. No healthcare plan. None. I mean, they've already verified it. I mean, they gave him the fucking book. I don't know what they thought. I don't know what they thought was going to happen with that. Past being a snotty fucking thing to do, right? And that was when Leslie Saul says to McEnany, he says, hey, is the president coming back? And the little bitch looks down at her. I mean, this gal shouldn't even be allowed to be in the same room.
Why is she a little bitch? You don't like blondes?
Nothing to do with that, buddy. Just she is just a snotty little, and I'm not going there. Anyway, she says to Leslie,
she's just doing Trump's bidding.
The president's given you a lot of time already. For that, she should be drummed out of the press corps completely forever. So anyway,
see, here you go again. That, I mean, Chancellor, exactly. Just say it. That's what I want these fucking Democrats to be honest. We're so tolerant of everybody unless you don't agree with us. Then we cancel you.
Fuck tolerance. It's not about tolerance.
You guys want compliance. You want authoritarianism.
Oh, man. do you want me to get back to what I want the Democrats to do when they sweep this election tomorrow?
Well, okay, so here's what we were talking about was if they don't win, what are they going to do in the next 4 years? What kind of batshit crazy ideas are they going to come up with to really fuck this country?
It won't make any difference. I mean, so here's a couple of scenarios. If Trump wins and they flip the Senate, I've already explained to you what I hope happens then. Then at that point, they find one of the other 20 or 30 things to impeach him on, run it
but
through
what do you need
the,
for the
Democrat-controlled Senate, and then remove him.
Don't you need two-thirds on an impeachment?
You do not.
Oh, it's just simple majority?
Yes.
Are you certain? I don't know either. I'm not testing you.
Harry Reid blew that up, right? He took the nuclear option on everything but the Supreme Court.
I see.
He left the Supreme Court at 60. So that was the only thing he didn't do. And then I guess, you know, they've changed it to be a simple majority. So McConnell. Oh, did you see Saturday Night Live?
No.
Did you see it this week?
No.
Find it on YouTube or something and watch. It was pretty funny.
You know what? I spend a lot of time on YouTube looking for shit. I got this really bad habit. I don't know if you know this about me. Uh-oh. For a long time, I've been like fascinated with airplane crash videos.
Oh,
have you heard me tell you this before?
No.
Like, you know,
you've flown or something, right? You're some kind of pilot.
I'm not, but my parents both were at one point. Oh. You know, and I have friends who, you know, were and are pilots, and I spent a lot of time. Okay. You know, I feel like I know more about flying than the average passenger. Sure. I mean, I'm the guy like, you know, looking over the wings, okay, what are the flaps of those, you know, 10 degrees? We need 15, I think, on this runway or whatever it is. And I'm always listening to the announcements. But, you know, just flying sucks. It's always sucked, you know. And
I'm not missing it.
But I watch these airplane crash videos. Some of them, most of them are like, you know, the recreations of famous crashes. And,
right.
You know, you just, some of them are computer animated. And other times.
Well, I watched some show on cable, Air Disasters.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Is that what you're talking about?
You know, like National Geographic or something. And they have a lot of these, you know, I mean, the crashes that you've heard of. We've had some here in California. But like any addiction, I mean, this is like 10 years I've been doing this. But like anything, like I need to go to the next level. And you know what I'm watching now? It's like it's the video on YouTube, but I'm listening to the cockpit audio of the pilots as they're crashing and dying. It's fucking terrible. God. Don't do it.
Oh, my God.
Don't do it.
I'm not doing it.
I mean, some of these guys are like on takeoff. Travis. They're having a good time. They're like, oh, yeah, what's the weather when we land there? I'm going to get a steak. Oh, fuck, we're going to die. It's bad.
That's awesome.
So don't do it.
Now I might have to go watch it now. That's pretty funny. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, like type in air traffic control or cockpit voice recordings.
Oh,
there's
dude.
Some wild shit.
Wow. You seem so busy, too, most of the time.
Well, I got to do show prep, you know, so I'm looking for stuff. And I did find, because you brought this up, I found your Utah governor clip.
I'm Chris Let's Peterson. And I'm Spencer Cox. We are currently in the...
They just like his name is Cox.
The final days of campaigning against each other to be your next governor.
And while I think you should vote for me...
Yeah, but really you should vote for me.
There are some things we both agree on.
We can debate issues without degrading each other's character.
We can disagree without hating each other.
And win or lose, in Utah, we work together.
So let's show the country that there's a better way.
My name's Chris Peterson.
And I'm Spencer Cox.
And
we approve this message.
That's such kumbaya bullshit.
It is. It's hard to take, but... It is where things, I mean, it is where things need to move to, you know. I don't know. It was a long podcast last time, right? So for those of you that have already listened to
it. They're still listening to it, I think.
Yes, still trying to get through it. I think at some point we did talk a little bit about how politics needs to get away from the parties. And I think that was a good discussion.
That ad is the fucking everybody gets a trophy ad right there. That's that generation.
That's the T-ball,
yeah.
Political ad.
Participation trophy.
But I mean, something in that. I mean, we got really. I mean, the answer is really, you know, try to. We have to make compromise, not some kind of bad word. It's not to get away from some of this. So there's some changes need to be made, no doubt about it. Are they going to happen right now? I don't know. Probably happen at some point.
Those dudes look the same. They were like the same age. They looked the same. Well, I thought they were brothers.
You gotta have a special key to get into that club.
Yep. You don't get out.
Utah. It's like, wow. Isn't that a science fiction, a place in the science fiction? It's not real. So,
well, you know, it's a place people are going to get out of California.
I got some relatives in, I think it's Vegas, right? That like to go to Utah for whatever, camping or.
Well, just, yeah. St. George is just outside of Vegas. Yep.
Stuff to do. So,
you know, the other thing we kind of touched on, and there's been a lot that's materialized over the last week, and I don't want to get you crazy, so I'm just going to prepare you. I don't have a bone to pick with you, but this whole Hunter Biden thing turns out that there's more to that than, you know, we originally thought.
Well, I've heard nothing about it.
Because it's being censored.
Tell me what it is.
Well, that's really the reason I brought it up is the amount of censorship is crazy. And we've been talking about this for months, you know, things that people share or post on Facebook or Twitter. And everyday people who are posting or you know, retweeting an article or something that's been posted by a legitimate news source, and now that shit is being banned and it's being censored. And a lot of the stuff with the Hunter Biden deal, I'm going to get this wrong. It was either the Washington Post or New York Post. I think one of those two originally.
Either of those are particularly reputable news sources.
Yeah, but they're in the category of mainstream media. And I could be getting those two wrong. It might not be those two. So I don't know exactly who the news source was.
In my mind, any of those big newspapers that end with Post are not reputable. And
I know. You got to read Zero Hedge every night before you go to bed.
Go ahead.
You're not reading Zero Hedge.
No, because the guy, we don't even know who's writing it.
Yeah, because he can't come out. He's going to be fucking canceled. He has to hide in the shadows.
That's right.
But he's swarming the Biden bus, I'll tell you that.
All right, tell me about Hunter Biden.
Well, listen, the point is this. That
did they dry the laptop out? Did they find somebody that isn't blind?
Yes, they dusted off all the bodily fluid from Rudy Giuliani, and they got the laptop contents out. But the bottom line is this. Now, from my understanding, I'm not an expert, and I don't know the full details of the story, but the allegation has been that
good base. That's a good way to start. So
yes. Hey, we can't be too serious on this show. We gotta have a little.
No, bring it. We're not NBC or ABC. We don't have to verify anything.
No, we don't. Except if you say anything that's, you know, crazy or considered to be violence against elected officials, I'm gonna protect you, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
But you know, the allegation was that Hunter was doing. You know, he was on this Burisma board and paid $50,000 a month for the sole purpose of having access to Joe, because Hunter doesn't have any experience, and who the fuck would pay him $50,000 a month to sit there and jack these guys off on the board? So the whole thing was to get to Joe. Okay, well, you know, listen, that's a far stretch. Is there any proof of that? And if that was Burisma's goal, is there any evidence to suggest that, you know, Joe was aware of that or gave a shit or was going to comply, all that stuff, right? So I'm neutral at that point. I'm like, hey, whatever, let's find out what the hell's going on here. But, and there's still really no smoking gun, I'll tell you that. I watched some of the interviews. I guess Tucker Carlson did an interview with this Tony Bigliucci guy or whatever the hell his name is. He's somehow, you can tell we're not good with names, but he was on the Burisma board. I think he was going to be the CEO. He's the guy that's leaking the emails saying these emails were sent to me. These are my emails. I didn't, you know, get these somehow. They weren't sent to me. I was the recipient of the email, so here is actual proof that, you know, Hunter said this, this, and this. But there's still no smoking gun that suggests, you know, Biden is on the take. There is, I think, some evidence to suggest, you know, Biden clearly is, like, working with his son. How do I want to say this? My understanding of it is that he's at least acting in a role, at the very least, he's acting in a role as a mentor to his son. Like, he's advising his son on these business dealings, and that's at the very least. Now, it could be more than that. I don't know. But none of this, I don't think, again, there's a smoking gun that says, hey, we got you. But there is a lot of evidence that's contrary to what Joe is saying, you know, downplaying it, that he has no idea about this, that he doesn't have any, you know, dealings or communication with his son on these international businesses. And that's clearly not true, not by these emails. Mm. So, you know, those revelations are, I think they were intended and they were released when they were for the sole purpose of trying to say, gotcha, you know, like the Hillary stuff, the James Comey thing 4 years ago.
Yeah, didn't work, did it?
No, but, and so you wonder if that, it's got to be, this is the reason for the timing of it. But it my issue with it, I don't give a shit what Joe Biden says. I mean, he clearly is, at the very least, he's misleading about his truthfulness of it. But what I get fucking infuriated about is the censorship. It how
who's censoring it?
Twitter, for one.
Okay, can I stop you there for a second? Let me say something in a serious vein. Twitter.
We're on Twitter, Facebook. By the way, at Couch Funeral.
Yeah. Yes, Twitter.
I'm going to get Facebook, us kicked off.
Yeah, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Does Amazon have some kind of social media thing yet? Not really, huh?
That's Amazon.
Amazon. So here's the thing. These are not... Those platforms are social media platforms. They have no responsibility.
I understand that.
Do any of that. In fact, they are looking out for their own self-interest in finally starting to censor nonsense that's been on their pages all this time, because they didn't want to be. They wanted it to be a free and open exchange of ideas. But the problem is they're so big now and have so much, and Google, same thing. They have so much power that they actually are like little governments. And so they are going to censor things that aren't true when they know they're not.
Well,
true.
Hang on. That's the problem. And I pulled clips if you want to get into it. I mean, there's some lengthy shit between, God, who is it? Is it Cruz? I think it's Ted Cruz. They had the Senate hearings for Facebook and Twitter last week.
Yeah. And those hearings were a fiasco, an absolute fiasco. Those were supposed to be antitrust hearings about how Google and Facebook and Alpinder Sinchon or whatever his name is.
Who's that?
That's the guy from Google. Oh. What is it? I can't think of his name. But anyway, they fucked that up because
the
Republican senators on that committee went down this fucking rabbit hole about this, and they screwed that up.
You want to hear some of it?
You're only getting those. You're only going to get those four top social media guys into the Senate hearings once or twice, and they threw that chance away. They wasted that chance.
Wait a minute. If the allegation was antitrust, and
is antitrust. That's what those hearings were about.
I understand, but couldn't an argument be made that if you are collectively deciding what material gets shared, because there is hypocrisy here, and they do bring that up, where you have decided you're going to ban this post and you're not going to ban this post, but they both qualify under the same
antitrust.
Does that not qualify? I'm not an attorney.
It doesn't. Antitrust is, so, you know, the back in the day when the laws were formed, back in 1914, when the last updates to the antitrust laws were made, after they're formulated sometime in the 1800s, for fuck's sake, the big industrial trusts were steel and trains and shit like that. And those companies have a trust. So when big trusts like that end up being monopolies, we trust them to operate in a certain way and not use their overwhelming power to crush other competitive type of situations.
But it is, isn't it? Doesn't I get that?
Antitrust means that, hey, we're having antitrust hearings to determine if Google and Amazon and Facebook and Twitter have used their giant monopolistic positions in their industries and broken the trust that they have with the U.S. government.
Yeah, but so really, isn't another word you could throw in there manipulation? If these big entities are trying to use their power to manipulate an outcome, like price fixing, right? That's kind of always the example I go to. If that's an antitrust violation, if you have companies or industries come together to try to manipulate the price to the consumer, I'm pretty sure that qualifies. So I'm thinking of the word manipulation. Couldn't you also make an argument that if you're trying to manipulate what people can see and what information is shared, Isn't there hypocrisy there? I don't understand.
You know what? I don't have any. I don't feel that any of those people that were involved in those hearings, those companies, those big four companies, Google, Facebook, Twitter, Amazon, that they have any responsibility to anything to do with equal anything.
They don't. And as a private business, I agree.
They own those platforms. And for everybody that thinks it's the public space, it's not. They're not public spaces.
No, hey, right? I agree with that. And as a capitalist, I agree. It's a private business. They have every right to do whatever they want. But here's the hypocrisy. They deliberately chose to not let the article about Hunter Biden get shared and passed, yet they deliberately also chose to promote the Trump tax return thing. So there's definite hypocrisy there, and I believe this is the left-wing media just putting their full agenda on display. I mean, there's no other way around it.
Okay, so all right, so you got that out. You put that out there. Now, let me give you the other side of that. The Trump tax thing, which was the New York Times, I believe, they took a couple of years and worked on that article and researched everything that they put in print to the max. There's nothing there that hasn't been verified. Unlike this Hunter Biden stuff, there's nothing been verified.
Well, do you want to go? Clips are long, but they address that.
The reason why Leslie Stahl would not let Trump talk about this bullshit on that 60 Minutes interview is because it's not verified. And CBS...
The Hunter Biden thing?
Yeah, and CBS... Well, listen... And any number of other... Go ahead, fix your microphone.
No, I'm trying to not interrupt your rant.
It's okay. So look, Leslie Stahl told the president several times in that 60 Minutes interview, both versions of it, hey, we can't, Mr. President, you can't say that in this setting because that's not verified. And we can't put anything on our airwaves that we haven't verified. So this bullshit about Hunter Biden is not verified.
At the time,
none of those sources will do it.
That's why I think this is important. At the time of that interview, and I don't know the chronology of it, so maybe, use the word verified. But this dude, Tony Bigliucci, or whatever the hell his name is, he's the one saying, hey, I'm the verification. This is my email. Here you go. So is that not verification? How do you get more verified than that? Of course. He's the source. That counts as verification.
I don't know any. So I can only speak through what I think the story is on that because I don't know that name or that that's the case.
I'm getting his name wrong, but it's something like that.
It's okay. It doesn't matter because I won't know it because nothing about this Hunter Biden or any of this stuff has been accepted by anybody as anything.
Right. And that is the point, is because they're hiding it. The mainstream media is trying to shield and protect Biden, and they're trying to make sure that any possible mudslinging. Yes. So let me repeat what I said.
Oh my God.
From what I have seen and read, I don't see the smoking gun. So I'm going to be the first to say that,
right? There you go.
Because I always say, we speak truth on this show.
Right.
I don't see the smoking gun. However, it's not as fucking clean as Joe would like to say. He knows all about what his son is doing. There's even evidence to suggest that Biden is calling some of the shots behind the scenes, at the very least advising Hunter what to do. That's a very different position than what he is saying and what the mainstream media is saying.
I ask you something then?
Yes.
Not disputing any of the things you're saying at this stage, but considering the highly corrupt Justice Department that we now
I got to do a corrupt count on you.
Yeah,
I got to do it. How many times you say corrupt in a show?
I can't go back.
You're short on cocksuckers today. Can you work some of those in?
I'm trying to tone it down a little bit. I don't want to offend any actual cocksuckers that might be listening.
Of course, you liberal you.
That's right. I'm trying to think about it, from their side.
Snowflakes. Stop. You're gonna Sorry, I'm interrupting so you. Trouble. Go.
Yeah. What the fuck was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So here's the question for you. If there was anything to this bullshit about Hunter Biden, and there was anything, illegal about it or anything that mattered about it at all, Don't you think that we would be hearing that there'd be an investigation from the most corrupt attorney general in history, Bill Barr?
I think there needs to be, from what I've seen. But the evolution of this story is that the media tried to bury it.
Do you know when this happened? I don't know the date, but from what I can see about this, whatever supposedly happened with this Hunter Biden stuff happened in excess of 4 years
ago. Well, let me ask you another question.
Don't you think that the Justice Department would have dug this out by now if there was something
they
to dig
tried
out?
To bury it because he's the golden child.
The Justice Department?
I don't know. I don't know the history of it. I'm just trying to get under your skin. But here's the thing. If
can't do it today. I'm too happy.
If it's
the election's
revealed,
almost here. It's almost over.
No, your misery is going to continue. We're not going to know the outcome.
This fucking nightmare is coming to a close. I'm so excited about it. I can't wait to watch the MSNBC all night tomorrow night. So flip over once in a while.
It's not going to be as fun. I watched, I think it was MSNBC. Where was Chris Matthews at that time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
so
MSNBC.
Yeah. Yeah. So I watched that feed on election night in 2016. I was in Hawaii. So, you know, I had the benefit of it being earlier over there, but I was watching it live when they realized that, you know, Trump was going to win and they just lost their shit. And Chris Matthews was like, hit his head in his hand. And he's like, he was calling the newscast like he was literally watching the Hindenburg crash. He was like so fucking distraught over it.
Well, the night, so the reelection of Barack Obama, I remember watching on Fox News, Karl Rove, you
good
know
for
that
you.
Name?
Yeah.
You know Karl Rove is?
Yeah, he was the RNC.
So he was doing exactly the same shit that you're describing Chris Matthews was doing when Obama was winning re-election and Karl Rove was having a fucking meltdown in Fox Studios.
And we're not going to get that tomorrow.
They had to carry him out in a straitjacket. Do you remember that?
I don't remember, but I mean, I'd rather take that and watch the meltdowns, you know, but we're not going to see any of that because we're not going to know, I guess. I mean, maybe we will.
I don't know. I think that... I'm already, here's the good news for me. I'm already resigned to the fact that we're not going to know for sure, you know, by the end of tomorrow night. And I would say we talked about it earlier today at lunch. I'm going to say, you know, conservatively, it'll be a week before we have a good feel. And that's barring any kind of, that's barring anything going to the Supreme Court. But I think it will be, I'd be highly surprised if Trump and his gaggle of lawyers don't end up at the Supreme Court. I mean, they've got their ringer in place, firmly in place there. Coney Bonnie Buddy Barrett or whatever. And she's there waiting to take the case. On a more interesting note, I don't watch Fox News and I don't have a lot of time for this, but apparently Pete Buttigieg has been on there like every night for the last
week
on
saying?
Fox News. Well, he's just going on Fox News and giving them a dose of reality. I mean, you know, and
but it's like this show, right? You got to have point counterpoint. They need, you know, they need the other side.
They, you know, here's the thing. Nobody wants to go on Fox News. I mean, none of the left wing people want to go on Fox. But Pete Buttigieg has more.
He's got balls.
Courage. Yeah, in his little finger than all the straight politicians on the Democratic side. So
You liked Mayor Pete.
He was always my choice for this. I mean,
Kasich. Thought he was a better choice.
Yeah, but I mean, he's at that like, time. Isn't he like?
He's
just white bread. I mean,
no, he's defected. He's now, I think, endorsing Sleepy Joe.
Oh yeah, no, he's over. Oh yeah, there's a whole bunch of Republicans that have, you know. Republican, ex-Republicans, Republican, you know, I mean, pretty much nobody that's in an elected position because none of them, I mean, in case you're right and there is some hidden Trump legion out there, they don't want to be on the wrong side of that if he remains president because it'll be scorched earth.
No, I know. I mean,
he's going to be out of control if we better hope he doesn't win because he will be out of control. And our only hope at that point is that we do. Can we flip the Senate and not the top seat? I don't know. Here's the thing about the Senate. It has nothing to do with the fucking Electoral College. So, you know, we could yet see a Trump victory for president and still flip the Senate.
I would rather at this point Biden win the White House and the Republicans keep the Senate.
That would be not good.
I think that would be better. Tone down the chaos in the White House.
I was going to say,
get through the next few months until Kamala's president.
Well, wait a minute. You said you want Biden to get to the next one until she's president.
Yeah,
well,
until he keels over.
I mean, for all my Democrat friends out there that are listening to this, if I have any, you better hope that we flip the Senate, because without the Senate, not that much really changes. Yeah, it'll tone down the chaos, like Travis said, in the White House, because it'll be a different group, and maybe we can get Barr out of the goddamn... I mean, we could bring the Justice Department, you know.
Control. Those big things that need to be brought under control. But if we flip the Senate, that means these are the states, the state's identity. And the states are going to turn blue and turn into a fucking disaster like California. We talked about people leaving to go to, you know, greener pastures only to fuck it up and change it to where they left. And that's what's going to happen.
Well, then for you, you better hope that we don't flip the Senate.
I hope.
That should be your hope.
That is my hope. You know. Let me ask you this on this Biden-Hunter thing. I'm just a hypothetical, I don't have any skin in the game, I don't care, but if it is revealed that Joe, because this whole thing was happening when he was VP, that was the issue, right? He was in a position of influence, and he was...
4, 5, 6, 8,
it's revealed that he somehow was... Because there's a lot of talk about corruption.
If Biden turns out to be corrupt, then he needs to suffer the consequences.
What are the consequences?
He can't serve. It would be impeachment.
So do we want to know, right? I mean, just like this stuff about Trump's tax returns, these foreign entities that he owns businesses and he has bank accounts, but he hasn't paid taxes here. You want to know the truth, and you want to know if it's legal or if it's illegal. And I'm just wondering, Mike, I'm just really thinking out loud with Biden.
Yeah.
From what I've seen, it almost looks like there's nothing there, but it's a fucking classic. It's like a Watergate deal. The cover up is worse than maybe what the allegation was.
Well, maybe. I mean, I will tell you that if there was pay for play, if it actually happened, and I'm not talking about Hunter Biden getting money from Burisma for supposed access to Joe Biden, if he didn't do anything as a consequence of that, then yeah, is that look bad? I think everybody wishes Hunter Biden had not gone to work for Burisma. I think Joe wishes Hunter Biden had not become a drug addict. And probably he wishes Hunter had died and not Bo, because Bo was obviously an angel. So
wow.
Right? So let me just set all that. I think the worst case scenario, because here's the main reason why I'm going to say what I'm going to say. The time period, the time that has elapsed between when this supposed corruption took place.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, it has to do with that number one, if it had taken place during the Obama administration, when the Justice Department was still, not corrupted, right?
Wait a minute. What about all these allegations against Trump that, you know, happened before he was in office? They're still trying to nail him for that shit. What about
any allegations against Trump were state allegations in New York, right? And nothing to do federal that I'm aware of. The only time he started breaking federal laws was when he
what about the what about the his, no 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 the the Stormy Daniels thing. That he used campaign funds to pay for it.
Yeah, well, that's an election violation.
Isn't that federal?
Well, yeah, but that's okay. So you got me. I mean, but that's not, that would be federal election law violations, and he's still likely to get prosecuted for that when the time comes. I mean,
but did I understand you right? You're saying that this shit happened so long ago for Joe that we shouldn't count it.
No.
That's what it sounded like. Finish. All right.
Well, you started interrupting me. All right.
That's what I do best.
I'm going to try it again. All right. He's trying to get me going, folks. Look, Travis. How crazy is that?
We have matching water bottles?
Yeah, that's weird.
Should we have a sword fight, too?
okay. So Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, if anything illegal or actually corrupt had happened, I think that the Justice Department pre-Trump would have acted on it, because they were not, it was not Obama's Justice Department. All right. So now, since Trump has come into office and they fired Comey and all the rest of this bullshit, right? They're very partisan now. So now that the Justice Department has been screwed up, there's even more of a chance in 4 years, if there was any there with this Biden, Hunter Biden, Joe Biden stuff, this Justice Department would have dug it out. Jesse Sessions would have, is that his name?
Jeff.
Jesse Sessions?
Jeff. It's Jesse better when Sessions. You mispronounce it. I like it.
Jesse Sessions. So Jeff Sessions and then Bill Barr. They would have prosecuted Joe for it. All right. So that's main reason why I don't care. So now let's say that there is. So here's what I think the maximum there could be, right? That Joe consulted with his son, because his son's a fucking loser and he's his son.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I said.
But there's nothing, there's no there.
Well, there may be something there. I'm not spreading the conspiracy that there is.
What I'm saying is that, in my opinion, the max there is that Joe was trying to help his loser son.
Why not just say that? I tried to help my loser son. I wish he died instead of the other one, but he didn't.
I mean, I think...
So I felt guilty. I had to help him. He's losing his teeth because of the crack.
That's hard to say. So I think, and if there's a shred of truth to that there was any pay to play from Joe for Burisma or the mayor of Moscow's wife or some other crapola that's associated with this, that he be, you know, tarred and feathered for it. I don't care, but until that happens, I don't think it's worth talking about.
Let me put it in.
Google, Facebook, Twitter, Amazon, they have nothing to do with Joe Biden.
Well, they do. And here's the biggest problem is that I like how you throw around the there. It's very catchy. I'm going to make a T-shirt on that.
Well, that's the term.
No,
right?
I get
that's
it.
That's the term they
use. But here's the thing. We don't know what's there because these fucking guys tried to bury it. And if it was Trump, they would have put it out
what
there.
What guys? What guys?
Twitter, Facebook, all the media. They tried to... They didn't want it to be
true. Did they have a meeting?
They had a meeting. It was the antitrust quarterly meeting. And they got together. And they said,
I don't know if when I cackle like a hyena because something is so ridiculous that it comes through on the mic, but I am the quarterly meeting. I like that. The quarterly meeting of the antitrust.
Yeah. So it happens. They're getting their, you know, people together and try to figure it out. God. If you're being honest, you have to admit, if this was another story about Trump, it would be all over every platform. Twitter would be tweeting us saying, please, will you share this? Come on.
Hey, let me put something else to you.
Yeah.
Along this vein. I like the logic of this. So let's do another hypothetical, because I'm pretty sure our audience loves this. So Biden wins and we flip the Senate or whatever, right? So all my dreams come true and that's what happens. And then what is
you don't have
it
bigger
that-
dreams than that. There's got to be more in there.
My political
dreams.
Oh,
I see.
All my other dreams have come true because thank you, baby. Thanks to my wife. So here you go. There's a 1,000 husband bounty.
Yeah, points. You're good for a while.
Doug and Matt, I hope you heard that. So that's a lesson for you. So what is Joe Biden as president of the United States and Kamala Harris going to have to do to get in trouble after
it's Kamala, by the way. Shit. If you say it wrong, that's a no-no. Your people
Kamala?
Are saying...
Camel back?
They're saying it's childish to mispronounce her name. They're doing it on purpose.
Kamala, right? Kamala.
Kamala. I think it's Kamala.
I don't care. So here's the thing. What are those guys going to have to do? What could they possibly do? What do you think Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe, Uncle Joe, is capable of doing that I mean, after all the shit that Trump has been allowed to do, there, I can't think of anything that Joe Biden or Vice President Harris could do that anybody could say a fucking thing about.
Read their platform. If they do any of that, we're fucked. It shouldn't be free college. It shouldn't be a federal minimum wage. It shouldn't be free health care. None of that stuff. It's all wrong.
I'm not talking about that. Don't you? You know what I'm talking about, right?
What? Elaborate.
Trump has broken every rule, broken every law, completely ignored
the emoluments. He left some laws there for Sleepy Joe to break.
Fuck. What could Joe do that he could write?
Is that what it's about? That we don't really care what the policies are. We just need somebody who's less of a sleazeball. We'll take anybody at this point. That's
I don't know. You're not so
am I interrupting you again?
No, you're not answering the fucking question.
What's the question? Ask me.
You're doing your right wing politician imitation.
All right. What's the question?
I ask you a question, and then you either ask another question, which reminds me of somebody that we both hate, or you start answering a question you wish I asked, not the one I asked.
Yeah, I've been trained to do that. What's the question? I'll answer it.
No, it's okay. It was rhetorical anyway, because nobody with these conservative values can understand, I think. No, all right, I'm going to try it one more time.
Go.
What could Joe possibly do that he should get in trouble for after everything that Trump has done and gotten away with? Isn't it that simple?
Yeah. So the answer is nothing. Is that what you want me to say?
I mean, literally there's nothing he can do if he becomes president. There's nothing that he's capable of doing that he should face any recriminations from anybody.
And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we should throw him in jail.
Especially any Republicans, right? So I'm thinking of all the shit mouth turd assholes like Trey Gowdy and Mitch McConnell and Leslie Graham, and the list goes on forever. I just need to get my whole Senate Republican list. I think Trey Gowdy's gone though.
Because he's a he's not a criminal. He's a straight-laced dude. He's corrupt businesses. So he's just going to get in there and do policy. That's what you're saying? So that we should be happy about
here's
that?
Here's the thing. He doesn't have, I took some time. So I am watching the clock today, by the way, as I know you are too. I started a stopwatch.
We can go 2 hours. We can do live. We can just keep going into election coverage.
Yeah,
we need more coffee.
I don't know, man. My emails turned off, so I should have about 100 emails. It's inventory. So here's the thing I was going to say. What I forgot.
See, it wasn't that important.
I guess. Go ahead. Oh, damn. Oh, I know. It was the emoluments cause.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about that in the last podcast, and I think that there's no. And you talk about there. Right. So Trump did not divest himself of, he was supposed to cut all of his connections
said supposed to, because he said he was going to, but I don't think there's a requirement that he do that.
Well, here's why it's been done and has always been done since the Constitution was written, because there are the foreign emoluments clause and the domestic emoluments clause, and between the two of those, there's no way that you can have the type of business that Trump has and not be in violation of both of those clauses. So
how was he even able to be elected then? How was he able to run?
Well, because like so much in the Constitution that I know you love so dearly, it's just there and it doesn't spell out any. So for whatever it's been, I don't know how long ago was the Constitution written, Travis? You probably have that at your fingertips.
Well, it was the convention of 1787, 88, something like that.
So just, what is it, 250 years?
Something like that, yeah.
So whatever, for 250 years, nobody has tried to be in violation. No president has tried to be in violation. Now, there may have been some stuff along there. I'm not a historical scholar on that, but surely no president has ever been impeached or convicted or prosecuted for violation of the emoluments clause, because every president has taken that constitutional requirement to heart.
Well, can I ask you a question The fact that Trump has these hotels, like I think the DC one where all the foreign dignitaries stay, is he not allowed to own that?
No, he's not.
Per what you think the interpretation of the Emoluments Clause is?
Yeah, he's not.
Well,
he's not.
Didn't everybody around the world know where Trump, I mean, Trump, he's on these golf courses all over the world. He's got businesses everywhere. That's his whole thing, is he touts his international business fame.
The way he was supposed to be in compliance with the Emoluments Clause, both foreign and domestic,
was to divest himself.
Was to put it into a double-blind trust and truly disconnect himself from it and his family, for that matter. So people that are not in his family, that are not in his will, him, somebody else is supposed to be running the Trump organization if it was going to continue. It was for him to be president, he should have let it go. He didn't have to take money out of his bank account. He didn't have to take his $10 billion out. So what I'm trying to get to here is, and you said several times, well, can't he go back now and claim it all? He's not supposed to do that. And
what's the difference? I mean, there's a good, you know, you're not going to get a lot of argument from me because of the fact he said he was going to do that. I don't know how much of a hand he still has in the day-to-day businesses, but can I just a hypothetical? Well, what's the difference between a massive business empire like he has versus a president who maybe owns a vineyard, you know, a small little winery or something, and you got people going to do tastings or buying wine? I mean, that's
foreign dignitaries, foreign heads of state going there and pumping.
Is that illegal if they're buying his wine?
Millions of dollars into his winery?
If all of a sudden, you know, I've got another 100 acres over here because I got this money from.
Well, here's what's supposed to happen. So let's say Obama had a winery on the side, right, that we didn't really know about. And because he never really expected anybody to go there because it's not in Washington, D.C. It's not down the fucking street from the White House, right? It's in Napa Valley or it's in Hawaii where they don't make good wine.
Where he's buying a compound, by the way. Some huge compound.
Yeah. So let's say that during his presidency, the king of Finland went to his winery and bought $1 million worth of wine because he thought it would get him in good with the president. Then he would be required to turn that money over to the government.
So are we saying the same thing?
That's the end of it. That's a foreign emolument clause violation.
What's the difference between $1 million worth of wine versus a case? Is he allowed to buy a case of wine for his own consumption?
Nothing. And here's the thing.
Isn't that ridiculous?
When the president goes to visit Saudi Arabia and they want to give him a sword that they cut off that journalist's head with as a memento, right? He's not allowed to keep the sword.
I'm being facetious here, but are we saying that no president can profit off of the presidency? Because they all do.
Can I sum that up?
Yeah.
You can't. Okay. So I hear where you're going with that. After they are no longer president, they go on speaking tours and things. Yeah, they can do that. But you are not allowed to profit while you are the president. At all.
What about when you have a couple like Bill and Hillary?
What about it?
Well, is one of them allowed to write books and make money while the other one's in office? She was a senator. When Bill was off on the Epstein jet and writing books and giving speeches?
I don't know the chronology of any of that. I am not aware of any emoluments, violations connected with the Clintons.
I'm not accusing them of that. But I'm just saying. So, I mean, it's an interesting question.
If he's not the president, and he wrote a book, or he went on a tour while she was the Secretary of State, I don't think that's an emoluments clause violation.
Yeah, it's perhaps. I mean, yeah, it's written, just to the office of the president, but it does beg the question.
It's written. Listen, it's Section 9. It's Article 1, Section 9, Clause 8, and that's the
historical
emoluments. And then it's domestic emoluments clause, Article 11, Clause 7.
All right, so look that up, people.
Yeah. So,
but I mean, it's an interesting question where you draw the line on somebody making money. So, I mean, and I don't know, are the hotel reservations through the roof because everyone's going there?
Yeah.
You know, so is that the case all around the world?
Yeah. How about when he, I can't even get it out. How about when Trump
wanted to move the G8?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
What's the name Doral. Of this shithole down
Doral.
In
it's not
Florida?
A shithole. Doral.
Yeah, it is a shithole.
No, it's awesome.
What I hear.
No, it's awesome.
Your love of Trump is blinding you.
It's more of my love of Florida.
So, yeah, that would be, I mean, that was an that's an incredible violation of the Emoluments Clause. You can't do that. That's directly taking heads of state and putting them into your fucking hotel so you can reap the zillions of dollars. And you would not to mention,
what if they don't pay? What if it's free? Is that allowed?
They pay.
What if they don't? Pay. Is he allowed to own the hotel if they stay there for free?
How about all the military people that over in Ireland that have had to go and stay at his shithole Ireland golf course and all of the goddamn Secret Service people and all this stuff? It's just one huge giant violation of the Emoluments Clause. I mean, these are the reasons.
How come I tried to get you to answer this last time? If that is true, how come they didn't try to impeach him for that and they used the weakest fucking argument they could find? If this is so cut and dry,
that's a non-starter, because they don't accept the premise.
Well, listen, I don't know if any of these constitute emoluments violations or whatever. But what started us down this path is that you're simply saying that, which I think was Obama's talking point. I heard him over the weekend say, you know what another added side benefit of this is going to be is that you don't have to worry about, you know, Joe and Kamala. You're not going to hear about them every single day in the news with more corrupt stories. Right. It's going to be just, you know, head down, get to work, business as usual. But, yeah. You know, come on, where's the fun in that?
Well, I mean, I guess I'll give you that one. I will tell you that I think this weekend, maybe our sole WhatsApp exchange was, I told you Obama was unleashed or something like that.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, I will tell you something that is out of the norm and, you know, a norm that President Obama has now broken, right? I mean, so this has been 5 years count, 5 or 6 years count all the time before Trump was elected, when he was campaigning and building up to this. And then his time as president, all that time that he spent busting every norm there is, right? And I get the mindset that, hey, sometimes it's good to break the norms, but a wholesale slaughter with no consideration for anything of every single norm there is, that's not a good thing. And I don't give a fuck who thinks it is. But here's the one he blew apart.
Okay? Who, Obama?
Obama. And you can bet that Trump is gonna use that as an excuse. But Trump Obama has just ripped Trump a new asshole in the last 2 weeks because he's off the leash. And he is saying the things that he hasn't said in
like
all
what?
Four
I don't
years.
Think Trump's asshole's hurting much.
I don't have any quotes. Just look up anything he said about it.
Trump is watching Obama. He's watching what he says because he made it some. Yeah. He said, Obama refused to endorse Joe early on in the primary. He only barely came out because he had to. And what's that say about, you know, his confidence in Joe? He's got a point.
Don't say shit.
He got a point.
Here's what. Well. Here's the thing. I can guarantee you that nothing Trump says is a point in my book. So,
hey, you have to find the truth under the layers. If it's there, you can't discard it.
There's no truth. There is no truth.
Why would Obama not endorse Joe?
Let me give you my radio voice here.
Your sexy is this your gynecologist voice?
Get me in trouble. Okay.
Why wouldn't he endorse him?
Because it wasn't over. You know,
it wasn't over.
I mean, so, yeah, once he was the actual presumptive nominee, then he endorsed him. Right? So there were a lot of other people running. I mean, there was how many people?
There was like 107.
30 people? Right?
Way too many. It was ridiculous.
God, those days came and went so fast. So, all right. So now, just a few hours. So we've already voted. So there's nothing left for us to do except watch the show tomorrow.
Watch it all go down. So, let's leave it at that. Let's go out on a high note and see what happens. I mean, it's going
to
be
so giddy. I'm so giddy and happy. I don't know what to say.
Well, I'll find a way next time, I'm sure, to, maybe we'll have to do a special episode. If there's anything to update on.
You know, I'm always available to do this, Travis, if the shit goes crazy, just call me. We'll do a special bonus edition. And for all our listeners, hey, Thanks a lot. This is it. I mean, we've been talking about this the whole time.
Well, this isn't it. We're not going away.
No, we're going to keep talking. This isn't the end of the podcast. So, Doug, Matt, Josh, let's see, who else can I name out there?
Wes, thanks for the love.
Wes Otani. Oops, I fucked his name up. Wes. All right, you guys. See ya. Have a good election.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.